David is going to go out. And Saul says, well, I better put him in armor. I don't want to send him out there with nothing. But can you imagine this kid? Have you ever seen a kid wear parents' clothes? They can hardly walk in it. And that's probably David. Well, if he's going to go out there, I'm just going to say, yeah, he had my armor. He said he could do it. I don't think Saul had faith. But you see, David knew something that Saul didn't. Because Saul is a man of the flesh. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're spiritual for the pulling down of strongholds. David knew that this was a spiritual battle. He knew that God was on his side.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Honolulu, with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 1 Samuel chapters 16 and 17.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
So he goes on, verse 29, and David said, what have I done now? Was it not just a question? Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. Now, great faith, if you're a person of great faith, you'll never be understood by those with no faith. Here, his brother didn't understand him, and I'm sure some of the people there didn't understand David. Because it just goes without saying that natural mind does not understand spiritual things. The carnal mind does not understand that mind of the Spirit, that person of faith. And so what is he doing? He's trying to read in ulterior motives. You're only here to see the battle. You're only here to do this and that and the other. You've got ulterior motives. And again, David being tested. A soft answer turns away wrath. Was it not just a question? You know, he doesn't go off on his brother. You chicken, why don't you go out to battle? Man, I'll go out to battle. You know, he doesn't do that. You know, he's really a man of faith. Years ago when we were downtown, we had a fellow in the church. He was on the church board for about a year, you know, and it was a term for a year. And when we bought the theater down there, you know, we're in the process of doing it. And I pretty much made the decision. You know, I kind of followed Chuck Smith, my pastor, when Chuck was around. It's the pastor that leads, you know, and if you have your leaders, your board, your elders that are in agreement, then you just move forward. You know, but if they're there to buffer in case you make bad decisions, and you know, you got to be able to listen to, you know, to those leaders. Well, this fella didn't happen to be there when we made the decision, and so he got kind of upset. And I still remember him saying to me, "Bill, you are just impetuous because we're going to go after the Empress Theater downtown." And I didn't know whether to take that as good or bad. He meant it as bad. But I thought, well, Peter was kind of impetuous, wasn't he? Getting out of the boat, walking on the water, and he sunk. You know, and I just feel like, you know, faith, that's important. And so, you know, because of that and maybe some other things, he left the church after a while. And, well, not long after, you know, we bought that theater. And I thought, that's a shame, you know, because you always want to see people come along for the faith ride. And years later, and it was probably about 10 years later, I hadn't really seen him, but I was down doing some business downtown, and I saw him. And I didn't really want to encounter him, because the last time it was like, I was impetuous, I was this and that. And so I wanted to kind of avoid him. So I went kind of around this building because I had to get in an elevator to go up to, I don't know where I was going, but I had to go up stairs. And so as I went around, pushed the button, he came around the other side. He was getting in the same elevator, and I went, oh no. And so I made happy. Oh, hey, hi, how's it going and stuff? And we got in the elevator, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, Bill, I just want to say I really admire you. I thought, wow, I didn't realize that would come out of him. But then I understood that, you know, the Bible talks about wisdom. Wisdom vindicates herself with her deeds. He thought I was impetuous. And maybe it was just a thing where he needed to learn what faith was. And I think he did over the years, because he saw what the Lord was doing and he realized, you know, some things. And so it kind of, you know, it kind of drew back together whatever had been, you know, distanced. And I thought, you know, that's pretty neat. And so I'm thinking here, you know, with David, the same thing. You know, David doesn't have any ulterior motives. He's not impetuous. You know, he's just really speaking from his heart and speaking out of a heart of faith. Verse 31, and when the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistines. That's an amazing thing. Here is a shepherd boy. A shepherd boy has greater faith than the trained soldiers, these men. What an amazing thing. Because God uses the weak to confound the strong. He uses, you know, that which is not to bring about that which is. You know, what some people would just pass over, you know, God will raise up. And that's David. He raises David up. You know, David encounters, he encourages. He encourages faith in the others because he has faith. This isn't phony. This is David. David has God's faith in him, and he encourages them. That's a great thing when a person has that legitimate faith. And then verse 33, and Saul said to David, are you not able to go, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. So, you know, it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? David goes, and he's going to say he's an uncircumcised Philistine, and he's defying the God of Israel. God of Israel's on our side, not on their side. They got a pagan god. It's all a matter of perspective. Remember when the 10 spies went into Canaan? And they said, there's giants in the land. We'll be wiped out. It was a matter of perspective. You see, if you put a penny in front of your eye, you can block out the sun. But a penny's not bigger than the sun. It's all a matter of perspective. David saw God as being bigger than this giant. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. Now he's really going to speak faith that he's learned on the job training, watching his dad's sheep. Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. And I went after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. It's like, wow. Saul hadn't heard words of faith like this. What God did to the lion, what God did to the bear, God is no different with this Philistine. God will do to this Philistine. You see, God working in the past with us. Has God worked in the past with you? Can you go back and write maybe a little synopsis of what God has done? Your little book of Acts, you know, a little portion of the book of Acts, and what, you know, the Lord did? You see, what God has done in the past must be transferred into the present situation, or we stagnate. David's saying, God was faithful when I was watching my dad's sheep. He's going to be faithful right now. And so he's getting ready to go out against the Philistine. You see, for us, if it's, yeah, God did something about 10 years ago. Yeah, I remember that. Has he done anything recently? You see, that's where I'm kind of at. We need to keep moving in faith. And there's all kinds of things that we can do in faith. You see, otherwise we're gonna stagnate. You see, it's always a training in faith that we might live a life of faith, but if we don't take from the past and transfer it into the present, then boy, we're just going to die in the vine. It'll be a stagnation of what God would really want to do with us and through us. Well, he goes on, verse 38, then Saul clothed David with his garments and put on a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor, and David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go out with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. That's interesting. Saul's armor. He was clothed with Saul's armor. Now David is just a kid. Saul's a big man. So he's dressing him in his armor. You know, I think Saul is dressing David for slaughter with this carnal armor. David is going to go out, and Saul says, well, I better put him in armor. I don't want to send him out there with nothing. But can you imagine this kid? I mean, have you ever seen a kid where, you know, parents' clothes, you know, they can hardly walk in it? And that's probably David. Well, if he's going to go out there, I'm just going to say, yeah, he had my armor, and he said he could do it, and I let him go. I don't think Saul had faith, what David was saying. But you see, David knew something that Saul didn't, because Saul is a man of the flesh. You see, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but they're spiritual for the pulling down of strongholds. David knew that this was a spiritual battle. He knew that God was on his side. And David had never, ever trusted in things like he's being clothed with now, this armor of Saul. He never had that, never experienced that, and he wasn't going to start now. And maybe he didn't want to insult the king, so he said, I haven't tested these, so I better not wear these. Here, I'll give them back to you. You see, the sad thing, sometimes you think the older you get, the more faith you have, and you'll never fall into temptation. As time goes on, Saul does. I mean, David does. He clothes himself with the armor of the flesh. Think about it. Think about it in David's later years. He clothes himself. Remember when he numbered his army? Military pride. How many do I have? David. Joab said, David, don't do that. God doesn't matter, you know, how many you have. Don't do that. And then God judged him for that. It was military pride. So, but here he rejects, you know, any armor, and goes on verse 40. And he took his stick in his hand and chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in his pouch, and his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a handsome in appearance. You see, that's how we know David was young and just a youth. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. Goliath? He presumed the battle was over. Hey, the battle's already over. Because of Goliath's size, because of the weapons that he had, because of his skill. He was a warrior from his youth and a big guy. David didn't presume. David prayed. David prayed. And he knew that the battle belonged to the Lord, the God of Israel, the God that Goliath had taunted. David despised the weapons. Goliath despised the God of Israel. David boasted in his God. Goliath boasted in himself. And when he picked up five smooth stones, some people will say, was that a lack of faith? Five smooth stones? No, it wasn't a lack of faith. You read that Goliath had four sons. You can read it in 2 Samuel 21:22. It wasn't a lack of faith. But hey, in case his sons want to come out and battle, you know, I got four more. But they didn't after that. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you, David says, into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it. And it struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into the forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Did it knock him out or did it kill him? We don't know at this point. But you think, well, wow, how did David do that? Hey, he was a good shot. He was an expert marksman. And you know, in the Old Testament, it talks about those that could sling a stone with their left hand or with their right, and they could hit a hair's, you know, whisker, you know, at 100 yards. I mean, this was like a rifle. You know, it was just amazing what they could do with this. Or maybe possibly not only a good shot, but maybe an angel guided that stone right into the forehead. Because you remember, they would have, you know, the helmet on, and the only spot that would be open would be between the eyes and the forehead. So he was not just a good shot, but a great shot. Thus David, verse 50, prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and took over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. So if he wasn't dead at that point, he's dead now. David cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that his champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose, shouted, pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and the two gates of Ekron. And the slain Philistine lay along the way of Shaharim, even to Gath and Ekron. And the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camp. So that one act of faith by David, it gave courage into the hearts of those that had no courage, and to the Israelite soldiers, and also Jonathan. We haven't heard about Jonathan. We'll read about him in the next chapter, read ahead. Jonathan now is renewed faith because he sees one that was just like him in his younger years. That's why it's good to hang out with those of faith that can reinvigorate an older person's faith. And so not just infected with the fear of the atmosphere of Israel at that time, but now he's reignited in his faith, and we see it in the next chapter. Verse 54, then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. Now when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this young man? And Abner said, by your life, O king, I do not know. And the king said, you inquire whose son the youth is. So when David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul and the Philistine's head in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." So David's passion, David's zeal for the work of the Lord caught the attention of Israel and especially the king. But you go, wait a minute. The last chapter just said that David was playing the harp for Saul. It seems like he doesn't even know him. In this chapter, what's going on? Well, a couple things, a couple answers, you know, that are given. Number one is it wouldn't be unusual for a preoccupied king like Saul, who had these fits of demonic delusion or whatever was going on, with so many in his court, not to recognize a simple harp player like David. But then afterwards, want to get to know him. Who is this guy? You know, I mean, that's a good possibility. Or it could be that he knew David. He actually knew David, but, you know, after the feat that he did, this feat of, bringing down Goliath, he wanted to know who his father was. I know in the previous chapter it does mention his father, but he wanted to, you know, sometimes you could forget all that stuff. Who is your father? You know, and notice he didn't say, "What's your name, son?" He said, "Who's your father?" And it could be because he's thinking, wow, if his father has sons like this, maybe he has more sons, and I can attach those sons to me. Because remember, Saul was one who would always attach valiant warriors to his bodyguard and to himself. Now, I already had three of his sons, the sons of Jesse in his army, but they weren't very brave. And so maybe that possibly is the reason. Or it even could be that, who's your family? Who's your father? Because I want to reward them. No more taxes for them. Let me make this right. So a lot of different reasons, but I know that there is a little bit of a misunderstanding on chapter 16, and then when you get into chapter 17, it doesn't seem like Saul has a clue of who David is, but I think that kind of clears up a lot of the issue.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel 16 and 17. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 1 Samuel 18 and 19. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.